Hey everybody, this is John Maroon, President of Maroon PR. Thank you for once again tuning into Spin is a Four-Letter Word, the Maroon PR podcast. This year, we are calling our podcast The Brew, because you'll be hearing from all of our teammates about how they do their jobs, how they brew success for our clients. So hopefully you'll get some great takeaways that you can apply to your business. We appreciate you listening. And please give us a follow at Maroon PR and let us know what you think, if there's any topics that you want to hear about. Thanks, and here's The Brew.
Welcome into a brand new episode of The Brew. And on this episode, we're talking about business development, what goes into it, and how a company can benefit from that side of things. Joining me on this episode is our Chief Operating Officer, Jen Renahan, and our President and Founder, John Maroon. A lot of great things to talk about here. John and Jen, first want to ask you both just why business development you feel like is so important to business, because the role here at Maroon PR, it's a fairly new one.
Well, it's a big thing for every business, right? Is to keep finding new business. You know, over the years, every once in a while, I talk to other agency owners and they say things like, we're not taking on new clients. And I say, that's insane. I mean, with all due respect, never stop looking for new business, because as much as you think your current client base is solid and you hope it is, things change. New people come in, budgets get cut. There's a myriad reasons why maybe things change. And so the hunt for new business literally never ends if you own or run a business. And our philosophy is get the business and figure out how to service it. And if it means we have to bring on more staff or we have to use some of our freelance network, we do it. But the search never ends. And I think anybody out there listening that owns a business or runs a business or is in business development realizes that. And you can look at that two ways. I think you look at it as a stressful sort of way, like, oh, I got to look around to find new business. Or you can just say, hey, look, we believe in what we do. We know our work helps organizations grow. And you just open a meeting, anybody and anything. Because, and I'll let you chime in here in a second, Jen, but like, I think the one thing we all have to keep in mind as you go through this process is that it can be deflating at times. I mean, Rocco, you know this from your searching, but you will meet a lot with a lot of people, and your success rate, it's like a lot like baseball, hitting in baseball, right? If your success rate is 25%, that's pretty darn good, but you'll be meeting with a lot of people. You get inquiries from a lot of people. A lot of people are just kicking the tires, trying to figure out what's it cost to hire an agency without even Maroon PR or your business being considered, but you got to do it. It's just part of it. And you never know. Like, a lot of times these things are very cyclical. A lot of times they're very long play. A lot of times people you met with didn't have the opportunity to really bring you on at one point, but now they're with a different organization. They remember you. So it's all part of the puzzle.
Yeah. And I think for us, you know, over 20 years, business development has taken many shapes and forms, you know, what John, like with roles, right? We've had the role, but I think what it comes down to, like your philosophy and how you've always run the company, is that meeting new people, taking that coffee meeting, just sitting down at an event and having a conversation with somebody, like that's really what drives business development. And the reputation of your work, right? And our work over the years is really what drives what we do. Yeah, like, yes, we have a plan, and over time we've had people in a business development role, but really it's how you get out and meet people with sometimes no intentions of business, right? And that's so right. Interesting to say maybe you don't have a full business development plan, but your plan is being out there and meeting people and getting to know people, and it all comes back around. So I just think that's an interesting, you know, point to kind of explore.
I remember sitting in your office, and something that really stuck with me, and you kind of touched on it. You're like, I don't understand why sometimes people won't search for new business. Because I was kind of asking you about the role and what it entailed.
Yeah. And you asked me, what is there a limit on how much business I can bring in? I said, there's literally no limit.
And that stuck with me. There's literally no limit. And you said, I'm not going to turn down new business. Big or small, we're always searching. So like, I feel like it's a testament to the type of business person you are, the type of business we do here at Maroon PR, and like how we're always searching for new people to work with and kind of exploring. And you know, we work out of these three buckets: cares, gathers, and plays. But like, we're looking outside of that as well going forward. It's really cool to see that and like see it from your perspective as well.
I think if you're out there, and there's two kind of approaches to growing your business, right? When you own a business, one is you can set a goal. Like, I know a business owner locally that says, By the end of 2026, we want to be a $20 million business. Okay, that's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to say, we are going to work hard to do great work and grow more or less organically, for lack of a better word, meaning we're going to keep looking for work. I've never had a number in my head. I want this much revenue. I want this many employees. What I want is a really well-functioning organization, no matter what our size. And then if you keep doing that, size, revenue, good things kind of keep happening. But I think both work. I've seen them both work, where you could set the number, you could set the goal, or you could just say, no, let's just do our best to grow. And as we grow, we'll make it work. We'll fill the need. We'll do all that. So there's more than one way to skin a cat. But I think, as Jen said earlier, like, just go out meeting people. There's not always an immediate ROI other than getting to know people. And that's good too. You know, I mean, build a good reputation. You do all that. Now, I will say, as we've grown and our budgets have allowed, we've gotten more aggressive with some of our tactics. You know, Google AdWords, where we have a very dedicated spend on that, which we hear from clients all the time. We always ask prospects, how'd you find us? And a lot of times it's we Googled and you came up. Like, great. So that works. So if you're not using Google AdWords, use them. I mean, find a budget. And I don't think we dedicate a ton of money. I think we dedicate maybe $500 a month towards Google AdWords and that sort of thing. And then,
right, our owned media and our website and all of it, right, plays together. And, you know, keeping our website updated with the case studies and different things, that really is beneficial to play off the Google AdWords for sure. And I think we always talk about with clients, like, having a little bit in each bucket of earned, owned, and paid. That's our philosophy with our clients. And I think that's where we're at as a company right now, that, yeah, we have our owned media, we have a little bit of spend, and then we do have paid. You know, we've made some pretty big investments more recently that are paying off dividends for sure.
Well, guys, there's a ton of ways to meet new people and kind of key in on this business development side of things. You know, there's networking events, big or small. There's kind of one-on-ones where you grab coffee, a beer, you go out and like go face-to-face with somebody, or just by word of mouth, like people are referring people to you and then you're kind of meeting them that way. In your experience, both in public relations field and the business development side, because you guys have had to do BD for this company for many, many years and you're still doing it now, what has been kind of the most effective way or strategy to bring that new business in? Because it's hard sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's a good question, Rocco. What I would encourage people is do what you're comfortable with, right? I mean, here's an example. Jen will laugh because she knows this. She knows really well. I am not good with big events. I'm not good with big groups. I'm not good with networking events. I am good with grabbing coffee or a beer or a drink with one or two people and kind of catching up and having those conversations. You, Rocco, and you, Jen, on the other hand, are really comfortable going to like these bigger groups, these bigger events, and meeting people and whatnot. Both can be highly effective, but I think things are only effective if you're comfortable doing them, right? So I don't think there's one right answer. I think it's just find what people are really good at, really comfort zone-ish is, and then let them do those things. Like Jen going to the BBJ events, which are maybe, I would rather have a drink with the BBJ publisher, right? And that's, it all works, but it's just feeding that comfort level.
Yeah, and I think we've found more recently, John, you've been in groups, kind of networking groups and professional groups over the course of your career. We've both recently joined a group called Elevare, and their strategy is a little bit more on the kind of one-to-one, building a nice network of people that are like-minded, but then also meeting people one-on-one and getting connected through networks. And we've found really good success with that. So that is one thing I think people should explore when they've got a dedicated budget. These types of groups, the right attitude and the right people in the room, could be really effective. And we're seeing that.
Yeah, I'll build off of that a little bit. So I've been in a lot of these type of groups over the years. And again, it goes back to your comfort level and how you like to work. So with Elevare, it's way more about building relationships with the members. And then ultimately, just coincidentally and organically, that leads to business development, right? But it's not, you don't go in. There are other groups. You go in with your list of prospects and you say, does anybody know anybody at any of these companies? And somebody says yes, and then they make an introduction. And it's much more salesy. I don't like that. And I'm not saying they're not effective for some people. They are, but it goes back to that comfort level. What are you comfortable with? Jen and I are very comfortable building relationships with people and then seeing what happens with those relationships. Other people are like, no, man, let's go. Here's my list. I got to sell. I want to sell. And I'm built that way. And that's okay too. But Elevare was more of a niche that make us comfortable in the way we like to operate.
Yeah. And the leaders of Elevare too, like, kind of to build on that, they know the types of people, because they know John and I so well, that we would want to meet outside out of the group. So, you know, they're setting up meetings for us to say, hey, I really think you should spend time with this person and get to know them, right? It might not lead to anything right away, but it's a good person to know and really grow your own network. So that's a really cool part of it as well.
Elevare is definitely a big way that, you know, I feel like Maroon PR makes an impact through business development, through those connections, through those relationships. There's also, we've built a pipeline over the years of people we've either reached out to, people that have kind of gone cold on us at times, but it happens, but then you circle back with them. And that's a strategy a lot of people kind of key in on and want to do. Looking at new prospects, who you want to kind of talk to or who would be a fit for one of our three buckets or beyond. And then the website inquiries as well, because we've gotten a lot of those over the years. People just searching us, simply searching Maroon PR on Google, reaching out, and then potentially get new business that way because someone either searches PR firms or agencies in the DMV area, or they're like, how do I go about doing this? Media relations, that could pop up at times, or just the success that we've had. So like, I think that that's a really cool way to see as well, like business come in because people are simply doing a Google search at times and then they're reaching out through the website.
I think one thing we do really well is not in an over the top sort of way, but we certainly celebrate our work. And we do that on our social media platforms. We do that really well with case study development and through our website. We keep our website updated. So with Google search and organic search as well. So I think we do a really nice job with that. And I think because of a lot of that work, people have come to know us, at least in the DMV. And so that's been great. And that's a real testament to, you know, Jen and Emma and Sarah and account leads who do all that stuff. So that's been great. You know, very, very helpful. Recently, we've taken, you know, a much more aggressive approach. There's two specific examples I jump into. You know, one is with the Baltimore Ravens and the other one is with the Baltimore Business Journal. We'll talk about those in a sec, but there's a common thread between them. It goes back to the relationships. We enjoy people at these two organizations. We've gotten to know them in professional and social settings. And then it led to us partnering with them. And, you know, I'll start, Jen, and, you know, with the Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens have always been really, really good to Maroon PR when they've had non-football stuff, right? Events coming through, other sorts of things, nonprofit work that they were partnering with. They always call us, Chad and Heather and the gang over there, give us a call and they ask us to help out with that. And I've always been so grateful for that because they are one of the dominant brands in our region and in the country. And they recently launched a small business partnership program which I think is brilliant. They did it with an agency over in London, and it allows smaller businesses like us to jump in with a smaller investment, although still a significant investment for us, and be a partner of theirs. Jen and I talked about it. I think we did it for a couple of reasons, right? One, we did it because it's great for our brand to be associated with the Ravens. We get their logo, we get on our email. It's just cool. The other thing is because I want the Ravens to know we value our friendship, we value our partnership, we value the trust that they give us with the Relentless events and Boys and Girls Club work and all this other stuff that they bring us on for. So I didn't want to be a one-way street. I didn't want to just be Oliver Twist saying, oh, Ravens, give me more work. I wanted to tell them, well, we're in it too.
You know, there's now a network of small businesses that have joined that we'll get to know over the next 3 years, which again, opens up more doors. So it's not just a logo. It's not just signage in the stadium, but having access to other small businesses locally is great for us.
No, for sure. And then the other example I mentioned was the Baltimore Business Journal. You know, that we have great relationships with all the news gathering agencies in the area because we work really hard at that. Baltimore Business Journal's unique. We've come to know their publisher, Courtney Bodie, quite well, their sales team, and all of their news people, Jess Iannetta and the team over there. And they've been great to work with. And they recently put together their first ever sports business summit. And it happens in October, and they were looking for lead sponsors in that. And we became a presenting sponsor of that, naming rights sponsor, us and M&T Bank. And, you know, the one thing I always say, while we do way more than sports, I never ever want a sporting event of significance to come to this state and us not be running the PR for it. We're built for it. That's what we do. It's in our DNA and we need to get that. So from my perspective, this just reinforced our stranglehold on sports coming to Maryland.
We've talked about the great success that we've had with, you know, the partnerships as well with the BBJ and the Ravens. But over the years, I know you guys have seen some struggles at times as well, like on the business development side. I guess, have those been, and how have you guys kind of gotten over the hump? Because the goal is those struggles aren't going to last forever. They happen, you find a way to get through them, and feel like this company has over the years. Like, in your guys' opinion, like, what has that been like, kind of that process?
Rocco, I mean, you know, the year after we started was 2007, the 2008, and, you know, nobody spent any money. That was as close to a depression recession this country's gotten, right, in a long time. And we muddled through. And I think what we ended up doing is, and I encourage everybody, just do two things. One, don't quit. Don't ever stop. Keep going. And second, get creative. I mean, there might be times, and I think there were specific times back then and since then, where maybe you have to adjust your expectations in terms of budget and what you're asking people for. And maybe you have to do a little bit of a prove it contract here and there from time to time. That's okay. We can prove it. We've been doing it for 20 years. So, you know, get out of your comfort level, put your ass on the line a little bit. You did it to start a business. So keep doing it sometimes when you have to, because once you get a little foot in the door and you show what you can do, 9 times out of 10, people aren't going to want you to go anywhere. Then you can grow the relationship, you know, grow that business and be there. But during tough times, you have to make some wise, creative decisions to keep going.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the biggest struggle we've seen is companies come to us for help and then not having any budget, right? Or really a budget that just doesn't make sense for us. And now we can, you know, after 20 years and we're stable and have a, you know, kind of know our worth and how we price ourselves, you know, that's a really tough, like John, to John's point of, you know, sometimes you take it and you get creative with the budget that they do have, but oftentimes they just don't even have any realistic budget. And that's hard, right? And so we try to set that expectation early on when we get an inquiry and before we spend too much time. And then oftentimes we'll divert that particular business or someone that's launching a business to a sole practitioner, right? And we're not afraid to do that if we don't feel that we can take it on.
That's right.
As a company.
I would say if you're out there and you're trying to drive business to your company, certainly never stop. Certainly all the things we were saying too, but also realize that there's business to be had with the people that you already do business with too. I think we've seen that. A great example of that is the Maryland Food Bank. You know, we started years ago with the food bank and they've grown to be one of our best and largest clients. But I mean, when we started, we were doing media relations for them. That's it. Now then it kind of dovetailed into social support, content creation, and ad buying partnership brainstorming, and you name it. So, you know, I think as you look at who you're already doing business with, think of what you're doing with those businesses and maybe where you can grow within that, because you've already earned their trust to some level. Now you just got to kind of encourage them to trust you with a little bit more.
Yeah. And I think it's, you know, a lot of businesses do come to us still just for earned media, right? And that's what they think of with public relations. So being able to have those discussions about our full service but then also being flexible is really important too. So you can't take a cookie cutter approach to our services when you're talking to a client. You kind of have to do that work and figure out what they need and try to then bring in the services that we feel are best. And that those could be also tough conversations to have while you're in the negotiation process.
The last thing I'll add, and we'll let you wrap up here, Rocco, is that, you know, the other thing to not shy away from, although it can be very challenging sometimes, and we talk about it a lot, is taking on the shorter projects, right? The short-term projects, because oftentimes they can lead to bigger relationships. Oftentimes that happens where you get in, you show yourself, and you're helping them through, yep, let's say, a grand opening or a ribbon cutting or something, and then they're like, oh, well, we can keep working with you. That's happened a lot. The challenges you all listening will see is managing these, right, and getting staff up to speed and making sure that they're not losing focus on maybe their bigger clients or their full-time clients, and they're able to do it. And sometimes you'd have to bring in some freelancers. It's always a tricky little puzzle that, you know, Jen and I are trying to piece together on these things. However, if we see promise, we try to really make them work, because they oftentimes are the first step into a bigger relationship.
Couldn't have said it better myself. No, guys, this is a great episode. It was really cool to hear your side of the business development and just like kind of tap into that network as well of what's to come, what's happened, and like the big things we have going forward. But if you want to reach out to Maroon PR, you can reach out through our website inquiry, connect on LinkedIn, send a message that way. But reach out if you know somebody who's looking for public relations, or yourself, you might be looking for public relations, and shoot us over a message. But that's going to wrap it up for this great episode of The Brew. For John Maroon and Jen Renahan, I'm Rocco DeSangro. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Hey, it's John Maroon again. Thank you for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. And just a reminder, if you can, follow us on all the major social media platforms at Maroon PR. If you have an idea or suggestion, let us know what you think, and we'll see you soon.